Summer Sundays are meant for freshly cut grass, ballpark dogs, and the best baseball talk you can find. So kick back with your bacon and eggs and pour yourself a mimosa while Phillies announcer Greg Murphy and Green Legion Radio's Chris Sack break down your fighting Phils and take you around the league right now on Baseball Brunch. Play ball!
Good morning, Philadelphia, and welcome to Bud Light Baseball Brunch, powered by Green Legion Radio, brought to you by our good friends at MCS Residential and MCS Custom Cabinetry. Go to mcsinc-pa.com for all your residential construction needs. This is 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, 104.1 in the Trenton area, WDAS AM around the rest of the Delaware Valley. And if you haven't done it yet, download the iHeartRadio app, and wherever you are worldwide, you can listen to Murph and myself and the rest of our great content here at 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. This is our last week here at Sports and Social at Philly Live Casino, and thank you so much to everybody here for your hospitality over the last 7 weeks. It's been fantastic. We've had a lot of fun. Some of us had made money, such as myself last week, but you all know me. I am Chris Sack, and my co-host, as always, every single week here on Fox Sports The Gambler, Greg Murphy, Phillies broadcaster. What's up, Murph?
How are you? Good morning, and you know, we got to give a shout out to the nachos here.
Oh, dude, I had them last week.
They are outstanding here. You got to come down and check them out. If you're in South Philadelphia, come check it out at the Sports and Social because they are good.
Absolutely. Well, hey, if you're going to come down here next week, though, you can come down here and you can hang out at Sports and Social after you hang out with us down at 1100 Social over at Xfinity Live. Make sure you guys get your tickets, $60 per person. It's a actual legit Bud Light baseball brunch. Plenty of food assortments are going to be there as well. From 9 to 1 o'clock, that's going to lead you into the Phillies-Red Sox game next week. Plus, you get to hear a live broadcast with Murph and myself. So make sure you guys go to greenlegion.com, sign up for next week. We have another one against the Yankees in June, which is going to be fantastic, Murph. We're going to talk about this a little bit later on in the show about how that weekend is 100% capacity back down at Citizens Bank Park. So that Sunday is going to be wild. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be insane.
It really is. I am so looking forward to that. You know, you have the Yankees coming to town, which is always a big event anyway here in Philadelphia. But the fact that they're opening the ballpark back up to 100% capacity, it gives me chills.
It gives me chills
to think about it. I can't wait to get in there and hear the sights and sounds of the full ballpark. So, yeah, thank God. We're coming out of this thing, right?
We can see it coming now. So before we get into our ticket giveaway again this week, and Murph is going to be doing the ticket giveaway trivia question coming up, MCS Construction Services is the largest residential contractor in the Philadelphia area. They supply both resident and commercial contractors, everything to include custom cabinetry. Reach out to them at www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. Ask for your free estimate so you can get started with your MCS Construction Services experience performed with quality and safety. They are licensed and insured and performing services throughout the Delaware Valley, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, and even Maryland. Once again, reach out to them at www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. And
all right,
here we go, Murph.
Let's get it going.
Let's do another trivia question this week and give away some tickets.
Yeah, we're giving away two tickets for the Friday, June 4th game against the Washington Nationals. Game time is at 7:05. All you have to do is answer the trivia question by following the Green Legion Radio YouTube channel or the Green Legion page on Facebook or our Twitter handle at Green Legion. Put all your answers on one page, please, because it is a dual answer for this particular trivia question. And here it is. And I knew this one without even looking. Who were the last two Phillies to hit for the cycle? It's been a while.
A lot of Phillies fans are going to know this right off the bat.
Yeah.
And, you know, because for those of us that are long and suffering for some of them to be removed from this list, you know, as being the last one. So there will not be a video. I know a lot of my friends are probably going to be sitting here listening and they're going to be like, oh man, y'all sack. There he is. He's probably going to have a video with it. No, I do not. We'll have that trivia answer and the winner at the top of the second segment. And, also I have some other nuggets too about, cycles, Murph, that I thought was interesting.
Okay, hit me.
I did some of it. Well, I'm gonna.
Oh, you're gonna do it.
I'm gonna hit you with it at the top of the next segment.
I got you.
Also, make sure you guys go to our social media feeds right now on StreamYard Sam and Slash. They're putting it together. You can go anywhere on social media for Fox Sports The Gambler, Green Legion. Make sure you guys follow the social media accounts and get in your questions because in the second segment we're gonna do Ask the Show. You can ask Murph or myself any question that you'd like about the current team. You know what we just did with our weekend before today. Whatever you want to ask, or if you need some life advice, Murph is the guy because he is saving everybody from themselves. So, without further ado, let's get out of the box right here, Murph, because the week that was, and it wasn't that great of a week, you know, there are some things that are coming up right now. Hopefully today we can win another road series here before we come back home for a week. But I did right here on the run sheet, which I should put a blowtorch to it, 4-2 week if they win Saturday with consecutive road series wins for the first time since July 19th to July 24th, 2019. That's not last year, folks, and that's not this year. That's the first time
it's
since
been a while.
Middle summer of 2019.
It's been a while, yeah.
Instead, we had a 500 week, 3-3, and we had a Murph. We haven't really played great baseball this week. We had a couple comeback victories, but outside of that, the offense has been non-existent.
Yeah, I think you know, for me right now, the biggest there's two major concerns with this team, and I know we're going to talk about both of them during this show. But first and foremost, and all you had to do is watch last night's game, Saturday night's game, to get a feel for this. Phillies have a real problem with their defense. It's a real issue right now. Last night, three errors in the game, but easily could have been four or five in that game, and that's a problem. When you're giving teams, especially good teams like the Blue Jays with that lineup, when you're giving them extra outs, it is really difficult to win a baseball game. And this team is not talented enough right now to give away extra outs, and they're not hitting enough right now to give away extra outs. So to me, major issue right now is the defense. And then, you know, we keep saying it. What are we, 6 weeks? We're a quarter of the way into
the season,
right?
This is our seventh Sunday now of live baseball action, yeah.
So we're 7 weeks in, and I think we've been saying for the better part of six that this offense is going to come around. But it has not come around yet. Now, I'll preface it by saying the offense around baseball has been dreadful this year.
Brutal.
Absolutely
sure.
Dreadful. But it's been pretty bad in Philadelphia as well. So, you know, one or two teams is going to figure it out offensively, and they're going to start to put together some win streaks because other teams aren't hitting. Phils need to figure it out. And the injuries right now, the question marks.
The nagging injuries, yeah. The stuff that seems to linger around and is affecting some of our big stars that you're relying on in the middle of the lineup.
Yeah, we don't know about Bryce Harper today, although I think he's probably doubtful for this game this afternoon. We don't know about JT Realmuto, although I would think he's doubtful as well in this
game. Especially with the off day tomorrow.
Yeah, and we don't know, well, we do know really about Didi. He's going to have an MRI tomorrow, so he's not in the lineup today. It's, you know, they're starting to add up. And as you said, you know, they're lingering issues. This is the same issue that's been bothering JT for the last week and a half. He's missed some games for it. Bryce's injury appears to be new. This shoulder.
It's normally the back. I was thinking the back last night when they pulled him from the game.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's good news or bad news, but hopefully we'll get an update before this game gets started, before we get off the air. But, you know, there are things to be concerned about. All that said, they're half a game out in the NL East, so it just goes to show you that right now, around baseball, teams are scuffling.
Yes, and I know we hate this, and we do this every single Sunday, but we always hate, and I texted Murph last night, and you laughed at me. I hate saying the word rubber match, but here we are again, another baseball brunch Sunday tailgate here at Sports and Social here in South Philadelphia, and another rubber match is on tap for this afternoon. The Phillies so far this year in rubber matches on Sundays, 1-3.
Yeah.
They started the season 3-0 on Sunday. They've lost their last three. They're 3-3 on Sundays now. So today is the legit rubber match for the first 7 weeks as far as baseball with the Phillies on Sundays.
Okay. Well, all right. So they got a lot to play for. We got that. And, you know, the idea that they could win a second road series in a row, something that, as you pointed out, hasn't happened since 2019. You know, there's a lot kind of riding on this game. On paper, you look in, you think, all right, with the lineup that is probably going to be put out there by Joe Girardi and Chase Anderson on the mound, you know, you probably give the nod to the Blue Jays. But, hey, last night you would have given the nod to the Phils, and it didn't work out that way. It's the beauty of baseball. So hopefully Chase Anderson can come in, do what he's been doing. He's the last three times he's pitched, he's given this team a chance to win, and they've won all three of those games. So that's a good sign. Be great to see him go, you know, five, maybe even in the sixth inning, and then hand it up to the bullpen with a lead. That would be best-case scenario.
And, Murph, real quick, how many weeks now have you been back as a Phillies broadcaster since we removed the tag from former Phillies broadcaster? I'm trying to line this up here.
I missed the first week.
You missed the first week?
Yeah.
Okay, I was trying to line it up to where I was like, since you're employed with the Phillies again, are they 0-3 on Sundays? And we're staring down the barrel of a gun of being 0-4 on Sundays?
Are you trying to get me to be former again?
No, Murph. first Let me tell you what I told. We like you too much.
What I told Charlie Manuel, my first year back in 2012, the team was scuffling, and it had been a while since the team was poor. And we were about two-thirds of the way through the season. It was a hot day in August, and I think we were in Pittsburgh, and we had just lost two out of three. I got on the bus. Charlie Manuel was in the first seat, and he looks at me and he says, "Hey, Merv, where's that Irish luck you're supposed to be bringing us?" And I looked at Charlie and I said, "Hey, Charlie, I didn't pitch today, all right?" So it had nothing to do with me, all right?
So I'll take the same stance as Uncle Charlie on that one. So let's go back a little bit here, Murph. We have a little bit of time here before we go to our first break. We have about 8-9 minutes here. So, last week, Sunday Night Baseball, we had Aaron Nola on the hill. Didn't have a great start. And I'm just going to graze across these real fast because, that led to us losing that series in Atlanta. And then I tell you what, man, that Monday was much needed for me. I think it felt a lot of fans felt that way and the players felt that way after we blew that series in Atlanta. And we didn't come away with it. But Tuesday is kind of where the big dilemma popped up this week. And again, it was kind of it had something to do with Joe Girardi. And I want to get your stance on this here. Because when we got into the top of the sixth in Tuesday night's 6-2 victory over the Nationals, we're up 3-0. Bases are loaded. Nobody's out. Chase Anderson, he sends up Chase Anderson. His spot in the lineup is up there, and he goes to the plate, and he flies out to left. And then so McCutchen and Gene Segura don't get the job done. There's no runs. Chase Anderson comes back in for the bottom of the sixth. Trey Turner hits a solo shot, and then Juan Soto is walked, and then Chase Anderson's lifted.
Yep.
At the time, Chase Anderson had thrown 78 pitches, and we all pretty much know what Chase Anderson is. He's a five-inning pitcher. There was a lot of backlash, a lot of Monday morning quarterback that was coming out on Twitter and other social media outlets about why they let Anderson hit in that spot. And I am of the opinion, Murph, that Girardi did the right thing. Mm-hmm. Because eventually, at some point, you have to stretch Chase Anderson further than five innings. Yep. 70 pitches through five. He's pitching well. My real beef with that inning is the fact that McCutchen and Segura didn't get the job done. And
yeah.
Segura had a great at-bat, fouled a ton of pitches off. He lined out the center. But in my eyes, I'm not going to sit here and beat up on Joe Girardi being a bad manager, Jansen. So what's your thought on that, Murph, as far as what you would have done in that situation? Did Girardi do the right thing?
Well, I don't know what I would have done in that situation, honestly. I'd have to really go back and re-examine the situation. But here's the thing. It's easy in retrospect to say, all right, that didn't work. But I think you're on it. I think what Joe Girardi did is exactly what you're talking about. Here he was. He had an opportunity to get Chase Anderson to go deeper into a game than he had been at any other part in the season. They need him to do that. They need him to have that mentality that he can do that. They need him to succeed in doing that, and he had an opportunity to do it. The bigger problem is, as you pointed out, that the two guys at the top of the lineup in this particular situation weren't able to get the job done. That is the crux of the problem. So if you're going to blame Joe Girardi for anything, it's blame him for having some faith in McCutchen and Segura that they were going to be able to get the job done at that point, and they weren't able to. So, look, being a baseball manager is hard when you're doing it before the action. It's really easy when you're doing it after the action happened and looking back. I think Joe Girardi's reasoning was exactly what you pointed out, and I have no problem with it at that point. So, Joe's made some questionable decisions this year. But again, that's baseball managing.
I think that's nitpicky.
I do too. And so, look, at the end of the day, you're only as good as the guys out there on the field, no matter what kind of manager you are. And his guys have not been consistently good all year. I have no problem with what Joe did in that situation. And you know what? Who knows? Maybe it pays off today when Chase Anderson gets deep into a game. Maybe he gets into the sixth, seventh inning this week. Who knows?
Right. Hopefully so, because we could use it for sure.
We sure could.
So then we get into Wednesday night's game, and huge come-from-behind win. A lot of Phillies fans were, I guess you would say there was a dilemma of, hey, we wanted to be happy, but at the same time it was Odubel Herrera that did the damage in the ninth inning off of closer Brad Hand. So people were conflicted, I'm excited, but it was Odubel, and it's just, I understand how people feel about it, and I I know from your side of things and how we all feel about it. But at the same time, like, his home run was clutch. It was big time. We needed it. We needed that win because it won us the series and it got us into the 10th inning. And then we had three runs in the 10th inning there. And we put it away with Hector Neris pitching the bottom of the 10th. But, the conflict that exists in Phillies fans over Odubel Herrera's presence on this team. And he's been playing well, Murph. He's been through Friday night. I did the run sheet yesterday morning before I had the highway to hell back from upstate New York. 344 through Friday night.
Yeah.
And, you know,
been one of the best hitters in baseball over that span.
Right.
And certainly one of the best hitters for the Phillies. Look, if at the end of the day, the responsibility of this front office is to win baseball games, and if they think Odubel Herrera in center field is the guy that can help them win the most games, that's who's going to be playing out there
right.
the majority of the time. And as a Phillies fan, I want them to win as many games as they can. And if Odubel Herrera is going to help them win games, then I'm at this point, because I feel like he's gone through the process. He's you know, been punished for what he did.
2 years.
2 years. And now he's back trying to make amends and doing all the right things. Look, help him win games, Odubel. That's what I say. Help him win games. So I was on my feet when he hit that home run. It was terrific.
And speaking of center field, Adam Haseley has returned to the organization.
Yeah.
He's down in Clearwater. Right now he's got 30 days left on the restricted list before they have to reactivate him. And when he does come back, he's going to be back with the Iron Pigs, you know, all of us would suspect, barring any injuries by that point. Have you heard anything throughout the organization about, you know, why he was gone, why he was missing? How is he looking right now? You know, any intel that you can give us on Haseley being back?
No, really, you know, the situation as to why he was gone is really kind of a personal thing, and I think they're keeping that within the higher-ups of the organization. I certainly don't know the reason, but the good news is that he is back, and Joe Girardi said that he got a chance to speak with him, I think it was yesterday. He sounded good. He's excited to be back. So now it's a matter of getting his body back into shape, play some games at the lower levels, get him back up to the Lehigh Valley, and see if he can help this team at the big league level. That's the most important thing. Well, that's the second most important thing. The most important thing is that he's back, he's feeling good, and he's raring to go. So that's good news.
Okay, and then Archie Bradley should be rejoining the team on Tuesday.
Yes,
I know he had a you know, rehab assignment Saturday in Lehigh Valley. I believe he gave up two hits and he gave up a run, but everything looks like it's good to go. We should have him back on Tuesday, which is going to further stretch our bullpen.
Which is great. It's a great situation for the Phillies because they need him in that bullpen. You know, to give length. You know, he's another guy that can pitch late in the game, 7th, 8th, even the 9th inning. It'll help out Alvarado. It'll help out Neris. It'll help out Brogdon. So, you know, you get those guys, and that's always good for the bullpen. Hey, before we take a break, and I know we have to get to a break, but the Phillies lineup just out right now.
Okay,
and
give it to
us. As you would expect, it's missing some key components.
So it's a mash unit today.
It really is. So Andrew McCutchen will lead off, and he's the DH today. Gene Segura batting second, playing second base, followed by Hoskins and Alec Bohm. Brad Miller is the left fielder. He is batting fifth. Andrew Knapp is doing the catching, batting sixth. It'll be Herrera in center field, Scott Kingery in right field, and Nick Maton at shortstop. So no Bryce Harper, no JT Realmuto. We knew there'd be no Didi Gregorius in this game. And whether or not those guys are even available off the bench, I don't have an answer to that right now. So it's, you know, next guy up. It has to be that
Absolutely.
Mentality, at least for the next couple days.
And while we're at it here, too, King of Prussia Diner is a sponsor of Bud Light Baseball Brunch. They're having a job fair on May 22nd to the 23rd, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., 128 Town Center Road, King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, hiring 90 new team members, plus or minus, full-time, part-time, and summer jobs available. Hiring on the spot for great candidates, busboys, dishwashers, servers, hostesses, shift managers, bartenders, line cooks, chefs, pizza chefs, bakers, future managers, and executives. Great working environment, great food, medical, 401k, and profit-sharing plans are in the works. And I guess I'll have to brush up on my Spanish here. Les damos la bienvenida a todos los aplicantes hispanos durante la feria de trabajo. Contaremos con representantes hispanos hablantes prestos a atender todos sus preguntas. Vengan y únanse a nuestro equipo. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to kick it to break now. We'll We'll be right back right after these messages right here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler.
And welcome back to Bud Light Baseball Brunch, powered by Green Legion Radio. We are broadcasting live from Sports and Social at Philly Live Casino. Chris Sack and Greg Murphy here with you. And a reminder, the neck sip, as in what connects your head to your torso. N-E-C-K, neck. It's the neck sip. Time to free up those hands and wear your drink, everyone. Visit NextSip.com and follow them at NextSip. It holds any beverage, even bottles, cans, and snacks. It's COVID safe. Wearing your drink helps stop the spread of germs. This beautiful piece of mastery sits around your neck with a durable pouch and straw. Text with both hands and drink at the same time. Visit NextSip.com. Customized with your team's colors. Perfect for sporting events, parties, hunting, or anything else outdoor. Philly born and USA made, only $5 each. Wear your drink and free your hands. Get 15% off when you use the code GREENLEGION. Again, visit NextSip.com and follow them at NextSip. There you go.
You know, that read is a beautiful piece of mastery,
it
too.
Is.
I love it every week that you do it, Murph. So let's give away some tickets here.
All right.
So who were the last two Phillies to hit for the cycle? Third baseman David Bell against the Montreal Expos on June 28, 2004 at Citizens Bank Park. And outfielder Greg Jeffries on August 25th, 1995 against the Los Angeles Dodgers at the Vet. Mike Davis is our winner for the tickets. Congratulations, Mike. You won two tickets for Friday, June 4th against the Washington Nationals. Hopefully you get Max Scherzer versus Zach Wheeler or Aaron Nola. That'd be fantastic. But hey, here's a couple cycle nuggets here for you there, Murph. It's been almost 17 years since the last time the Phillies have hit one.
That's hard to believe.
They have eight total cycles in franchise history.
Yep.
Two of them happened in 1894.
I remember that well.
So only six since 1927.
Okay.
The most cycles by a franchise all time is the Pittsburgh Pirates with 24.
Huh.
The Phillies have allowed 17. So the most cycles allowed all time by any franchise is the St. Louis Cardinals.
Really?
Yes.
I think that's both interesting. I'm surprised the Pirates are the team with the most cycles, and the Cardinals giving them up. That's a little surprising as well. 2004, I remember when David Bell hit for the cycle. It's funny because every single time a guy in the Phils lineup gets leads off with a home run, has a double and a single, up comes the graphic. The last player it ever.
We need to stop pulling that graphic up.
Well, we do. We need a new name on that graphic. Take off David Bell and bring someone up. Maybe it happens today. Maybe today's the day with the next man up mentality that the Phils are playing with this afternoon. Who knows?
Maybe Bamboo Brad Miller gets the job done today.
You know what? He's a perfect
candidate.
Bamboo,
baby.
He's got all the tools. He could do it. Although lefty on lefty today, so it makes it a little more challenging for him.
But Pat House, who has been down here pretty much every week with us, my buddy Pat, he's been down here every week. Unfortunately, he's not here today, but he will be back with us next week. He bought his ticket for the baseball brunch tailgate over at 1100 Social.
Nice.
He puts on here, trivia question should have been, what player does Chris hate the most? Because he is one of the answers. So I wasn't a big David Bell fan,
no.
and the fact that he still is the last Philly to hit for the cycle, it still sticks in my craw. And when Ryan Howard, he did it in Colorado, and he got an unfavorable ruling by the scorekeeper on that call. He called it a single with a one base error. He didn't even touch it. It was a double.
Should have been a double
all day long, and we should have the cycle. If it was at home, it would have been a cycle. So Pat, thank you for bringing that up. My hatred for David Bell.
Breathe.
I did this just for you guys.
Breathe.
So now we're here in our second segment here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. It is time for Ask the Show or Life Advice with Murph.
Yeah.
So, Slash.
I'll do the best I can.
What did you and Sam get over there? I know one of the questions I'm actually looking forward to answering because it's pretty funny.
Oh, I'm saving that for the end. But first one comes from our buddy Bruce Vail, and it's simply, is it time to give up on Scott Kingery? And then I'll add, if the answer is no, then why? Murph?
Well, actually, Murph, if you don't mind, Scott Kingery, there is a job fair at the King of Prussia Diner next week. So make sure that you are in attendance for that. It's 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on May 22nd to the 23rd. But Murph, go ahead. I know you're going to be a little bit more discreet than I was.
Yeah, well, look. First of all, is it time to give up on Scott Kingery? No, it is not time to give up on Scott Kingery. Is it time to do something different with Scott Kingery? Yeah, which is what they were attempting to do at the beginning of the season. Allow him to go down to the Lehigh Valley, allow him to play in games, and try and figure out a swing. I have talked to no short of a dozen baseball guys that I respect, and every single one of them has told me that Scott Kingery can play at this level. He just has to figure out that swing, the swing that he he broke down and rebuilt is not working. He needs to break it down again and get back to what he was doing before. So he's young. He's athletic. He understands that he's not playing well. I don't know if you saw the column that Matt Gelb wrote in The Athletic this week where he spoke to Scott Kingery, and Scott said, look, I need to get away from, you know, it's hard to fix your game in the big leagues. I need to get back to
especially when you're not playing every day.
Not playing every day, getting, you know, random at-bats, and it's a difficult situation that he's in. The question is, what do the Phillies do? Because the Phillies need bodies right now. I mean, they have a 40-man roster. He's on it. You know, they need bodies, and right now they're forced to have Scott Kingery at the big league level and hope that he can contribute in you know, some ways. He hasn't been able to do so far. But it's not just as easy as, like, hey, let's cut Scott Kingery and what? Bring in who? You know, who's that guy then?
Right.
Ronald Torres is hurt. Once he gets healthy, I would imagine Scott will go back to AAA and Torres will be up here on the big league level. But until then, you know, it is what it is. You need Scott for the long term, and you need to figure it out. But right now, you need him up here because you need bodies.
Well, especially because now, you know, tomorrow on Monday, we're going to have a MRI for Didi Gregorius, and he's got a bump on his elbow. Now, it's the same elbow that he had Tommy John surgery on, but it's on the like the outer part of his elbow, not in the interior, so his UCL is still good.
Yeah.
But if he goes on injured list, you need Scott Kingery to be able to give you something at second base and shortstop, because Maton is doing that right now. You know, he's playing shortstop and he's playing well. He's not hitting as great as he was when he first came up, but you know, the rest of the lineup isn't hitting well either. He's here for his versatility, defensively, and he's got to figure it out with his bat. But it's not time to give up on him. If the Phillies had their druthers and Murph and myself, he'd be down in AAA right now trying to figure it out and work on his swing. And unfortunately, because he's called to arms right now, he has to be here.
Right. And I think, Scott Kingery was asked that question, and he said, yeah, I think if all things were equal right now, I'd probably be better off playing every day in AAA and trying to figure it out. But that's really not an option right now. So there you have it.
All right, next one is from Broad Street South. It is, what are your thoughts on Albert Pujols signing with the Dodgers? And I guess what his role will be.
Well, we kind of grazed on that last week, Murph. We had that in our Bapo or Oppo, and I believe we both said that we could see him signing someplace based off of injuries. The Dodgers have been scuffling early on here in the season. That's been no secret at all. You know, I do believe right now they're on a 3 or 4 game winning streak.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were 18-17 to 22-17 now. But listen, if you're looking for him to be a bat off the bench in the National League, go for it. You're wasting versatility in a position that you could have for a bench spot. But I think that he will find himself at first base. He will work himself in there, because I don't know if Gavin Lux at second base the long term, because now, actually, bringing him in works best, because Corey Seager fractured his hand last night.
Right.
So you might be able to move Gavin Lux over to shortstop, move Max Muncy back to second base, and then you could put Pujols at first base and get him some reps over there and let him play. And eventually, at some point, they're going to get Cody Bellinger back. But they need their stars to get going, too.
Yeah.
Bringing Pujols in, who's a seasoned veteran. He's won 2 World Series titles. This is the type of guy that he'll bring leadership to the clubhouse and experience. I don't look at it as a bad move. I thought it was more he was geared towards the American League because they would have a DH. But hey, lo and behold, if the defending World Series champions find a spot for him, good for him.
Yeah, and you know what? I think that's part of it, what you said there right at the very end. You know, the Dodgers, I think last week when we were talking about this, I said, you know, it's really hard for a Major League Baseball team to just kind of find an extra spot for a guy. You know, those roster spots, they mean something. But if there's any team in baseball right now that could probably get away with, you know, kind of putting him at as the 26th guy on their roster, then it's the Dodgers, because they do have a lot of depth. Now, granted, they're a little banged up as well. But I was surprised it happened so quickly. I think the Dodgers probably could have waited a little bit and probably gotten him in a month or so. But you know what? Good for Albert. You know, he's a good guy, one of the good guys in baseball. He's joining up with probably the best team in baseball right now. Who knows? Maybe there's some kind of Cinderella story in all of this at the end, and he comes up in a big spot in the postseason and does something good for the Dodgers. He certainly is capable of doing that. I don't think we'll see him play a whole lot of first base, honestly, unless he's forced to because of injury. But they have that luxury. They can just pop him up off the bat. And,
a few times a week. He's not going to play over there seven times a week. No. But, hey, if you can get him in the lineup, you can get his bat in the lineup 3-4 times, tops.
He's not going to hurt you. He's not going to hurt you in the lineup, that's for sure.
Yep.
Is he a Hall of Fame? No, I'm just kidding.
I would probably vote for him.
Yeah, no. The sky blue. All right, so we have two from our guy Larry Henry Jr., and the first one I really like. Who has been the unsung hero for the Phillies so far this season?
Oof. Wow. It's a good one.
Start with Sack here.
I mean, I kind of want to look at the starting rotation at this one. And I know Zach Eflin got beat up a little bit on Thursday, but I'm going to go with the Zachs. I'm going to go with Zach Wheeler and Zach Eflin.
Yep.
Zach Wheeler has, and we talked about this at the beginning of the season, Zach Wheeler has been everything as advertised. And the best part about Wheeler is, you know, a lot of people and fans like to look at your contract. Oh, man, well, he's making so much money. And this was a great contract that the Phillies signed Zach Wheeler to, because if you look at the other options and how they're performing this season, I know Garrett Cole is phenomenal, but that deal is 4 years more and like $200 million more. So if you want bang for your buck, that's Zach Wheeler, and he's been phenomenal, outstanding every single time he's taken the mound outside of that first inning against the Mets on that one Saturday. And then Zach Eflin, he's been steady Eddie. He's been getting you in the sixth, seventh inning. Both of those guys have been saving your bullpen, which has done so much more than what they could ask for.
All right, I agree with you. I think that's a perfect answer. I'll go a little bit off the board, and I'm sure I'm going to hear it from some folks by picking this particular guy. But if you look at the numbers and you look at when he is producing, I would say an unsung hero on this team right now is Rhys Hoskins. Rhys Hoskins has been clutch in after the seventh inning.
We didn't even bring that up about Friday night, too.
Yeah. So after the seventh inning in games this year, he is, I think, third or fourth in baseball in terms of clutch hits. He's batting over 300 in those situations. He has 12 RBIs. He has 6 game-winning RBIs, which is second in all of baseball.
Can you say that again? Because I don't think Jansen's heard that.
Yeah. Well, he was one of the people I was thinking about. But look, is he betting 320 and no, he's not. But if you look at when he is producing, 6 game-winning RBIs this year, it's second only to Travis Shaw in all of baseball, who has 7. He's been clutch. So an unsung hero, a guy that probably is not getting enough credit, Rhys Hoskins.
Yeah, especially now with those injuries in the lineup, too. Yep. I mean, he's going to come up big, batting out of the three-hole.
They need
today.
Him, too. They yes. do.
All right, the second one from LHJ is, who's the best player you guys have seen in person? Zach, I know you go to a lot of games.
Yeah, I've been. I know Murph worked for you know, for the Phillies, so he's been to a lot more than me. I've probably been to over 1,000 games in my lifetime. Yeah. Best player that I've ever seen in person,
and why is it Vince Velasquez? Got to bring it up once.
Hey,
Jansen didn't ask the question.
He's been good.
Oh, God, Murph, why don't you go first? I got to think about this fast.
Yeah, so for me,
this is one of those, like, what we were talking about, being put on the spot. You like to have a little bit of leeway
it's tough.
To try and figure that out.
Well, you know, if I just stop and think about, I mean, Mike Trout is the best player I've seen in person.
I was supposed to see him 3 times, and he got hurt twice. Okay. And then, you know, I haven't seen him in person yet.
When you see Mike Trout play, you can see that he plays at a little bit of a different level than everybody else. He's a phenomenal player. You know, off the top of my head, I would say Mike Trout. And, you know, it's an easy answer. It's kind of a cop-out answer. He's the best player in baseball.
Right.
But I've seen him many, many times. And, he's outstanding. So I'll go with him.
All right, if I'm going to go with player and not pitcher, I'll say Derek Jeter was my favorite player to see in person. But my favorite player, period, was Roy Halladay.
Okay.
And
that's a good one.
I was a fan of Roy Halladay before Halladay came to the Phillies. I went to a Yankees Blue Jays game at Old Yankee Stadium back in 2007, and Doc pitched that day.
Okay.
And I fell in love.
Yep.
I mean, the guy was quick. He was efficient. He was a machine on the mound. It was unbelievable. When he came here in 2010, I saw him 15 times that year.
Mm-hmm.
15, including his postseason no-hitter. There will never be another pitcher that I will be enamored more by than Roy Halladay.
That's a great answer. Love it. All right.
I actually have one for you guys, and it is pertaining to Vince Velasquez. What do you make of his last three quality starts, and is it convincing enough, being that we've waited so long for him to, you know, string together these kind of performances?
Yeah, I don't know that you can kind of go all in on Vince quite yet, but I think you
We've been here before.
Yeah, because we have been here before, and it's kind of like, you know, fool me once, shame on me.
You're waiting for the implosion.
But I'm not, actually. I actually think that Vince has shown over the last couple of weeks that he can be effective, and I think with every outing that he is effective, Vince feels more confident in himself. And
right.
for Vince, knowing him the way I know him, that's an important part for him. He sometimes gets in his own way in between the years, and the more success that he has, the better he is going to continue to throw. So have we turned the corner on Vince Velasquez? No, I don't think so yet, but I think you can be encouraged by what you've seen. This is a really good Blue Jays lineup, and he shut them down.
Yes, he did.
He shut them down.
Surprise,
so,
motherfucker! The king is back!
Yeah, what he said. So, yeah, I'm encouraged by Vince Velasquez, but because we are where we are with him, we need to see more.
Right. And Vinny Velo has a 2.84 ERA in his five starts this season. He's pitched really well.
Yeah.
You know, I know he gets a lot of criticism, and the fans will get down on him. You know, and they're going to jump on him as soon as he has a one bad start,
right,
for sure. But he has pitched well. He has earned his way into this rotation for the foreseeable future, and we'll see how long it lasts. But yeah, I know we're going to be coming up here on a break, and I do believe you have one more question for me there, Slash.
I do. The grand finale for Chris Sack here, Chris Sack. Why is your nickname Sack? Chris Sack.
Careful.
Oh, gosh. All right. So, first of all, my nickname is Sack because that's my last name.
Right.
It's a lot of people want to say, oh, that's unfortunate. And, you know, growing up, it was, you know, you heard a lot of stuff. I played on soccer teams where, you know, we traveled everywhere.
I would just call you Hacky.
Well, I mean, that's one of the better ones that I've heard. But yeah, you know, like you go here, you go there, you go to like Shalik Regional High School and they have like a couch on the sideline. And then as soon as they see you, they're salivating like dogs because they know what your last name is. But I remember I almost got into a fight with a player on the field. And my dad, after the game, you know, I was like 12, 13 years old, and my dad's like, so what did he say to you? And I was like, well, Dad, he was saying something about our last name. And he's like, all right, well, what else have you heard? So, like, I'm rattling off all the names. My dad's like, get used to it. Use it to your advantage. Like, if they want to sit there and think about what your last name is, then turn it around on them and just dominate them on the field. And guess what? I did.
There
so, you
go. You
know, like, so it was one of those things where like, my dad had all those years of experience dealing with it, and now I'm in my mid-30s. I never hear anything about it anymore. So thanks for bringing that up. But, yes, it's because of my last name.
It's your actual last name. It's not even a nickname.
It's not even. Right. Well, it's a nickname because no one calls. It's like you with Murph.
Right.
You know, nobody calls you Greg.
No.
You're Murph.
Right.
You know, or, you know, like Gabe Kapler would call you Murph-E. You know, like.
Yes, he.
I kid, of course, and I thank everybody for their participation. Great questions.
Absolutely. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, thank you, guys. And speaking of Baseball Brunch here, Baseball Brunch is part of the Green Legion Radio and Green Legion family. Remember, while our radio shows are growing by leaps and bounds, the bread and butter of the family is the experience you have with us when the Eagles hit the road. We are gearing up for an incredible Eagles road trip schedule, which will include Las Vegas, Denver, Dallas, Atlanta, Carolina, Detroit, Washington, D.C., and even a trip to the Dominican Republic for an awesome watch party weekend, either over the bye week or in place of visiting the Giants. Go to greenlegion.com or contact the office at 215-666-5940. The Green Legion trip package will be live on Monday, May 17th. Make sure you guys get to the website because I know everybody wants to sign up for that Las Vegas trip. And while we're at it, let's go to break here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. This is Bud Light Baseball Brunch with Greg Murphy. I'm Chris Sack, and we'll be right back right after these messages.
And welcome back to Bud Light Baseball Brunch, powered by Green Legion Radio, live from Sports and Social at Philly Live Casino. Chris Sack, Greg Murphy here with you on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. Good to have you with us on this Sunday, our last Sunday here at Sports and Social. We'll head on
been
across
a great
the street.
Time. Been
has.
A great time.
Headed over to Xfinity Live next week. We hope to see you there. A reminder, Bucks County Baseball Company is a proud sponsor of the Baseball Brunch with me and Chris Sack. Bucks County Baseball Company is the premier vintage sports clothing and collectible retail store in the tri-state area. Visit www.buckscountybaseball.com. bud.co.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location to see their incredible selection of unique vintage sports items from the Phillies, Eagles, Sixers, Flyers, and much more. Again, visit www.buckscountybaseballco.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location. The showroom is huge. The website, even bigger. Check out Bucks County Baseball Company right now.
And welcome back to our last segment here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We are Bud Light Baseball Brunch with Greg Murphy and Chris Sack. And Murph, I always love our last segment of the show. And, you know, not because we're done with the show. It's just like I think the content that we bring in the last segment is always like some of the most fun that we get to have.
We're trying to win people some money.
Yeah,
we can.
We try to win people some money. Obviously, neither of us had much success about it last week.
No.
Unfortunately, I won't say unfortunately. Fortunately, I did not use my three picks last week. I used one of yours. I used one of mine. And Jacob DeGrom was pitching for the Mets. So I hit for $970 last week. So if you guys want, you can come down here and hang out with me and walk up to the kiosk and make a play after the show. Otherwise, we're just going to be playing Russian roulette with my picks on the show. So I believe Jansen's going to have some fun with us today, Murph, at our expense.
Yeah.
Updated standings. I believe you said that you think you went 1-1-1 last week, but
I thought I did. I pushed on one of them.
I don't listen to myself on the show, so my best friend who runs our social media account, he did check us out for last week, so I'll go back and do it myself. But as it stands right now, both of us went 1-2 last week.
Right.
You moved to 9-8 on the season, while I go to 7-10.
I'm backing up.
Yes, so we both need a rebound this week, Murph.
Yeah, we do. I hate that sound.
Yeah, thanks, Jansen. All right, so let's go ahead here. Three betting lines on Sunday's Major League Baseball ticket that we like. Money line, run line, over-under run totals. Murph, what's your first one this week, buddy?
All right, first one for me. I'm looking at the Giants and the Pirates in Pittsburgh in this one. Alex Wood versus Mitch Keller. Both teams heading out on the road after this one is done. Now, the Giants don't have to go back to the West Coast. They're only going, I believe, to Cincinnati, and I think the Pirates are headed to the Cardinals. So kind of a similar travel schedule for those guys. And you always look at, on getaway day, the team's just going to be looking to, you know, get back on the plane and get back home. I don't think that's going to be the case here. So then I would tip my cap towards the better team. The Giants are still playing good baseball right now. So I'm going to take the Giants over the Pirates, -157. But I like the Giants to win that final game in Pittsburgh before heading back to the Midwest for their next series.
You just took the San Francisco Gabe Kaplers.
Yes, I did.
You would.
Go,
you
Cap.
You would.
Let's go.
I'm rooting against you on that one, Murph. I hope you lose your money. So my first one for this week is the Astros, red hot. Winners are 5 in a row. Playing the Rangers, -188. I have them on the money line, Murph. I added them to my ticket here before the show. So play the Astros. They are playing extremely well. Lance McCullers on the mound today, one of their better starting pitchers, and that offense is red hot, including Jose Altuve, who's hitting 10 in a row right now. I'm taking the Astros to beat the Rangers down there in Houston.
All right. When I'm looking for my picks, I'm always looking for lines that just look a little off to me, right? So the Reds and Rockies this week, the over-under in this game is 11.5. Okay, that's fine. You know, it's out in Coors Field. A lot of runs being scored out there, you know, of course, in their history. However, offense across baseball right now is just absolutely dreadful. It is down across the board, and it is down in a wide, wide margin. So I really start to like the unders in a lot of these games. So there you go, 11.5. It's basically begging you to play the over. It's begging you to play the over, which probably I should do, but I'm not. I'm going to go the under in this one, 11.5.
I actually like that one.
Hoffman versus Senzatella. Take 11.5, take the under in that game.
Yep, that's a good pick. I'm going to go with Shane Bieber, not Justin Bieber, on the mound for the Indians, on the road against the Mariners. I'm going to take Shane Bieber all day, every day. You always rock with an ace. -220. Add the Indians to your ticket today.
Yeah, that's -220. You're going to have to put some money down to win some, but hey.
Or you just parlay it.
Parlay it.
You parlay it.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I like it. I like it. All right. Finally for me, another good team that I think is just going to overpower today, the Dodgers, who, you know, have kind of righted their ship over the last couple of days.
Bullpen game. Bullpen
game. I know it's a bullpen
game. No, Walker Buehler.
It was supposed to be Walker Buehler. They've scratched him.
They put him off to Monday.
They put him off to Monday. So, but that just makes me think even more that they're just like, you know, we could beat these guys with a bullpen. You know what I'm saying? So I think the Dodgers go out and just knock the cover off the baseball day today offensively, and they beat the Marlins easily down there. I think that's in South Florida. So Dodgers minus 153. We'll take that. There you go.
Yeah, they are in L.A.
Oh, they're in L.A.
Yeah, they are home.
Oh, even more reason.
Yeah, absolutely. Winners are four straight there as well. And Walker Buehler, if they scratched him for Monday and they were playing the Giants or the Padres, I'd understand.
Who they got?
Play the Diamondbacks.
Well, division team.
I know, so. But they stink too. Is that Bumgarner on that team too? And you can still let me hear about that one.
I feel like I'm 3-0 this week. I'm just telling you right now.
I'm going to go with the Yankees and the Orioles over 9 at minus 115. John Means was supposed to start for the Orioles down in Camden Yards today, and he was scratched just a couple hours ago. So if that's a bullpen game, and you're going up against a Yankees lineup. That right there, they're salivating. And then Montgomery's pitching for the Yankees. He's okay.
He's
nothing special. The Orioles will hit him and get a few runs there. Over 9 Yankees-Orioles. That's my third pick for the week. I'm feeling pretty confident as well. I think next week, Jansen is going to have to tuck away that losing horn that he likes to play for us for sure.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah Jansen. Tuck it away.
Tuck it away, Jansen.
Remind me after the game to kick Murph's ass.
It's a good drop right there. So let's go ahead now for our favorite segment that we like to do every single week. Can you believe it?
Can you believe it?
Murph, can you believe it?
I can believe it.
All right.
I love that.
Yeah, no, me too. Every single time. Except Jansen's always slow on the draw there. We're going to have to... I think we need somebody new in the studio.
Oh, man.
So, Murph, can you believe it?
Yeah.
Give me your first one for this week.
All right. I got a bunch today, so I'm trying to figure out which one to use. But I'm gonna go with this one just because it's historic and I kind of like it. Clayton Kershaw. How about this? First Dodgers pitcher to give up 5 runs... but also strike out 11 in the same game and get the win since Sandy Koufax did it back in 1965. So, you know, he wasn't at his best. He gave up the 5 runs, but he was striking out 11, and he got the win because the Dodgers' offense is that good since 1965. How about that?
That's yeah.
How about that?
How about that? That's a Tom McCarthy call right there. All right, so my first one is a Mets one. Patrick Mazika became the first Mets player with multiple walk-offs within 5 days of each other since Mike Baxter had one on May 7th and May 9th of 2013. The funny thing was, is he had, at that point in the week, 0 hits in his major league career.
Yeah.
Yet he had 2 walk-offs because he had 2 fielder's choices.
Yeah. Wow, you can't wait to tell the grandkids about the 2 fielder's choices that you had to help your team win
long
the game.
Drive.
Hey, you know what?
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. That
whatever
was a
works.
Choice.
Whatever works. I'll take it. How about that? Okay. All right, here's one. And then I've got another one that I'm going to give you, but maybe it's not a how about that, but before we wrap it up. But this is kind of cool. Fernando Tatis Jr. of the Padres, he was 18 months old when Adam Wainwright, who will start against the Padres, or who did start against the Padres this week, was drafted by the Braves.
Wow.
How about that? He was 18 months old. They faced each other this week.
God, I didn't even know he was drafted by the Braves because he's been a Cardinal the whole time. I always say, man, like, I remember his rookie year when in 2006, and they won that epic 7-game series against the Mets in the NLCS, and he dropped that curveball as the closer of that team on Carlos Beltran and just completely froze him to win that series. Absolutely incredible. And the fact that he's still around.
It's crazy.
Man, all these years later. My next one is, hold on, let's see. I have one here in regards to Shohei Ohtani.
He's good.
First player to start as a pitcher and eventually move to right field since Cesar Tovar on September 22nd, 1968. He's the first pitcher to go directly from the mound to right field since Harvey Haddix on September 28th, 1952. This is courtesy of our buddy Ryan Spader. Another great nugget about him. And I know you have an additional one, Murph, and I'll give you mine as well. Roy Halladay would have turned 44 years old the other day.
Yep.
He still leads all of baseball in complete games since the start of 2009 season.
Isn't that incredible?
And he hasn't played since 2013.
Yeah, he is a horse, no doubt about it. Well, this one is kind of what we were talking about early in the program, and that is that offense is down across baseball. And this kind of illustrates it. It's from the if you like numbers and you like the analytics and you like cool stats, one of the great Twitter follows is Sports Info Solutions. They just have some really interesting numbers that they pull up. How about this? This week, actually yesterday, so Saturday, was one of the better days for Major League Baseball hitters this season. Yesterday, hitters went .264 batting average with a .344 on-base percentage, a .440 slugging percentage, and an OPS of .784. That's league-wide yesterday. .264 batting average. For the season, the players across Major League Baseball have combined for a batting average of .235.
Wow.
Oof. 235.
Yikes. That was absolutely
That's the
dreadful.
Average in Major League Baseball. It is awful right now.
Well, hopefully we can get some offense out of the Phillies today, Murph. Look at the week ahead real quick. We have a couple minutes left. We have Chase Anderson on the mound against left-hander Robbie Ray for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yep.
Down in Dunedin, Florida. Another off day on Monday before coming home for three against the pesky Miami Marlins. We were 3-7 against them last season, and a three-game series against the first-place Boston Red Sox. Bud Light Baseball Brunch next Sunday at 1100 Social Xfinity Live. Go to greenlegion.com and get your tickets to join us next Sunday. Murph, real quick tidbit, what are you looking forward to this week out of the Phillies?
Well, you know what? I'm looking forward to getting back home, and, you know, they play better here at Citizens Bank Park. It would be really, really great. I think really kind of uplifting if they figure out a way to win today, missing all those guys that they have with Chase Anderson on the mound. If they can figure out a way to get out of this road trip 5-4, come back to Philadelphia, I think that's a win for sure.
I agree.
So I'd love to see that today. But then get back here to Philly, start playing that brand of baseball that we've seen at Citizens Bank Park. There's going to be double the fans in the ballpark this week, if I'm not mistaken. And then by next series, 100%. Are you kidding me?
Let's go, baby.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
I love it.
Thanks again to our friends here at Sports and Social for their hospitality the last 7 weeks. It's been phenomenal. We've had a great time. We've had some good turnouts here as well. And for Greg Murphy, our whole team here, including John Jansen back in the studio, I'm Chris Sack. And like a 3-1 pitch to Ryan Howard, we are out of here, everyone. Have a great rest of your Sunday.